You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network, here with brand new episodes every other Friday. Brand new guests to talk about their Walt Disney World experiences. Matt and Katie, just back from Walt Disney World from their honeymoon about a month ago. So I'll chat to Matt and Katie soon. And also answering your questions. If you're going soon or you're planning, there's anything you want to know, anything we can help with, then do drop me a message on any of the socials. DMs are always open. Hello to Missy K. Neal, I think that's how I pronounce it right, on Instagram. To activate your 14-day ticket, do you have to first check into your resort before you can go into the park? You don't. So they're kind of separated differently, really. I know when you go to Disneyland Paris, I think you have to check in to your hotel to pick up your tickets to get into the parks, if I'm not mistaken. Over at Walt Disney World, it doesn't matter. Technically, you usually are already checked into your resort anyway. You usually do that before you go. So you can do that on the app or on the website. So you're just good to go. Your ticket is good to go. Straight in the parks. Do not waste a minute of time in there and have a great time. Any questions? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Pod Magical. Let's talk to the honeymooners now, shall we? Katie and Matt on this episode of the podcast. They are just back from Walt Disney World. Not just back from Walt Disney World. They are just back from their delayed honeymoon at Walt Disney World. Welcome to the podcast. How was it?
Amazing.
It was incredible. Like, you know, sometimes when you think you build something up and you think that it's going to be, it might not meet your expectations. It just met expectations, went over it. We were there for 2 weeks and I can't really remember a bad moment or anything that wasn't incredible. It was just an amazing 2 weeks.
Like a bubble.
Yeah, it was, really was. Yeah.
Usually with this podcast, we've got somebody who's been on, has been to Walt Disney World a number of times, or has been with somebody who's been a number of times. But for both of you, for your honeymoon, you'd never been before. This was your very first time in the magic.
Yeah, we'd been to Paris, didn't we? So after we got married, we went on a mini moon to Disney Paris and we had the best 4 days. And that was when we started thinking about going to Disney World and experiencing that. We were going to go originally, what was it, December 2020, and then COVID happened, so it meant that we just been putting it off and we've been toing and froing, and then finally late last year we decided, finally, let's do it, we're going all in and we'll do it. And it was definitely the best decision we've made. It was it was a real step into the unknown, like hearing from so many people, from yourself, from other guests that you've had on the podcast, just asking questions and learning about the place, making so many plans.
There's a lot of planning. I think you kind of underestimate that if you've never been before, until you get really into like watching the videos on YouTube and the podcasts and reading all the blogs. It's quite intense going, but then once you're there and you've got all your plans, it worked out.
Yeah.
Worked out okay. It was good. It was amazing.
So let's start with the planning then of when you were going to go and where you were going to stay. How did you come around planning it then? Did you have a travel agent? Did you go, all right, we want to go here. We've never been. We don't know what's going on. When should we go? Where should we stay? How did you get around your head around that?
We totally winged it, to be honest. Like, I'd never even flown. I'd never even flown before.
Oh, wow.
So it was, yeah, had a brave move, 10-hour flight. But, we just kind of just did a little bit at a time. Originally, we were just going to stay in the Caribbean beach resort. And then when we cancelled it, we thought, actually, do we want to stay at two places? Because we thought we'd never go back. So do we want to experience somewhere else? So we changed it to a week at Contemporary as well, which was incredible.
Yeah.
We had a spreadsheet, quite an intense spreadsheet, lots of alarms set, ready when we need to start booking meals and that kind of thing. And
we were quite on it in terms of park reservations. So that was one of the things we learned about in terms of park reservations and park hopping. And then we were really on it in terms of dining reservations, because I don't know if there was a bit of like worry there, like making sure we didn't go hungry at any point because we knew how popular certain places were going to be.
Yeah, which feels daft now you've been and there's obviously food everywhere.
Yeah, but
We spent hours looking at menus, just checking what was actually on each place and whether we'd like it or not. And then just spent hours like scrambling, trying to book all the reservations that we wanted. We mainly got all of the
we
ones
got everywhere. That were, yeah, we were really lucky. We
Yeah. But that was November time. So a couple of months out. And that was really intense planning. And then after that, it kind of just happened. We just did a little bit at a time, really. And then by the time we got out there, we sort of knew what we were doing roughly, bar going on rides and whatever already.
Yeah,
which was quite nice. Yeah. It meant it was less overwhelming because, as you know, Andy, it's just a massive place and it's just you can't possibly see all of it. And having that basis of a plan, I think, was really helpful.
Was it even bigger than you expected then when you got there?
Yeah, I think.
I think the resorts, the Contemporary and the Caribbean, I knew they'd be big, the massive hotel, but they were bigger than I thought they were going to be, especially Caribbean Beach. The fact that it's split up into those essentially mini resorts. It's just a massive, massive site. And the Contemporary as well was just, as we said, it's incredible. But that was the fact it was like, you see, like mini town in itself where you have your little corner shop, and then little bakery, shop, cafe, bar, restaurant, just like one little town all into one. So I think that took me aback a bit, how much bigger the resorts were and how much they were able to cater for every need, essentially.
Definitely, but Hollywood Studios was small. I mean, obviously, still a lot, but that was smaller than I was expecting.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It was good. It was good balance.
I think Hollywood Studios ended up probably being our favourite one, maybe, because it was, well, certainly for me it was, just because it was that little bit smaller. It felt, I don't know, it just had a...
I felt like we knew what we were doing at Hollywood Studios, where everywhere else we got quite lost.
Hollywood Studios, you can like walk round in a circle, can't you? If you go like Toy Story Land, Star Wars, and it is actually built around a circle, really, isn't it? It's quite easy to get around Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
And with your hotels, because you did a split stay, so you did Caribbean Beach and Contemporary, did you split your parks to go with that? Did you go, well, we'll only go to Magic Kingdom when we're staying at Contemporary?
Initially, we tried to, but then the Skyliner was closed, so we ended up having to get buses anyway.
No.
So it just kind of all fell apart. But it was, everything was so quick, even though people said to try and do it that way. It's so fast and
yeah,
the bus is there all the time. It worked out really well.
I think, yeah, that's how we found the transport system was so great that it didn't overly matter in the second week when we were at the Contemporary. Yeah. We could easily get the monorail to Epcot, the bus to Hollywood Studios, and then vice versa, the Caribbean Beach. It was quite easy. So we did mainly go to Magic Kingdom in the second week. We only went, I think, once
in the week
we were at Caribbean. So we did split it up that way, but it wasn't rigid like we can only really go to Magic Kingdom in the second week, because it was just so easy to get to everywhere pretty much.
We tried to go with the flow. I'm quite a tense person, Andy, but we tried to be like relaxed and just kind of just do what we felt like doing, and it worked really well. And we had some like hotel days or pool time and made sure we weren't like
exhausting yourself. And did you just stay in Disney or did you go to any of the other parks? Did you Universal, SeaWorld?
Just Disney.
Yeah, just Disney on this time. We did think about it. We discussed it, didn't we? We thought about it. But yeah, we thought on this time, we would just do Disney this time.
Yeah, from what we'd read, Universal was more kind of ride focused.
Yeah.
We weren't fully sure how much we'd like the rides at first. So I think now we probably would if we went back. we'd maybe go now, but we thought we'd be more about kind of the Disney bubble.
Let's talk about some of your favourite things then. Did you have a particular favourite attraction when you were there?
We loved Toy Story Mania and in Hollywood Studios, and then Buzz Lightyear Ranger Spin in Magic Kingdom. They were amazing. We liked Toy Story anyway, but and they were equivalent rides in Paris were really good.
Yeah.
But no, that was really, really good.
And were you quite competitive, Katie? Like,
yeah,
really
I wanted to be the bigger person, but no, I absolutely hated losing. we were all, was it Buzz Lightyear that broke down, but the gun still worked? So it wasn't, it was a bit of a cheat, but yeah, I got an amazing score that time.
You did, like planetary first class or whatever it was. Yeah,
smashed it.
No, we loved those ones, didn't we? They were just really, really quick fire and fun, weren't they? The more quick fire fun rides, we really enjoyed the most.
And try to be brave. So we went on like Slinky Dog, which I know is aimed at children, but I felt very, very brave. And Big Thunder Mountain. They were amazing.
Yeah, the Slinky Dog and Thunder Mountain I enjoyed more than I thought I would. I thought I'd enjoy them, but I thought I'll, you know, would be quite scared. But they were really, really enjoyable, especially Slinky. Was like a, it felt like it was over with within a minute.
Yeah,
it was so fast.
But it was good. Cosmic Rewind was a shock, I think. Yeah. So excited. It was the first ride we went on. We got our, like got quite early in the day. First time at the park, first day. We're like, right, we're going to do it. And the only like videos I'd seen was the bit at the start, you know, when it's going past the screens. And I thought, oh, I can do that. That's fine. And as soon as it flew backwards, I thought, oh,
I can't.
Dear, this is not what I anticipated.
Yeah.
What song did you have, by the way? What was your song?
One Way or Another.
Oh, Bit Blonde. Oh, that's my favourite one. It feels faster when that song's on for some reason.
It feels super fast. I think that's the thing that saved it, because it was like, we were both focusing on the music so much.
I'm just going to sing. That's how I'm going to get through this. And you said, when I got off, you like, you screamed quite a lot. And I didn't even really realise. I did not play it cool at all.
So what did you do for that one? Was that, did you buy the Lightning Lane or did you get in the virtual queue for that one?
No, we missed that. It went so fast in the virtual queue. We had to buy the Lightning Lane.
You won't pay for it.
Yeah, which feels like a bit of a kick when you've already done Genie Plus, but it worked out really well. And you went on it again, didn't you, the last day? I just had a sit down at that point.
I've done it now.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine. Did you buy Genie Plus for your entire trip, or did you just use it on a couple of days?
Yeah, just a couple of days.
Yeah, we did one in each, not at Animal Kingdom, but one
in
each of the others.
Yeah.
It was easier than I thought. Again, you read a lot about it online and a lot of complaints. I think you end up on your phone quite a lot, which is a little bit of a shame, trying to wait for the next slot, but it was better than I expected.
Yeah, as you say, the phone, just staring at your phone, waiting, scrolling.
Refreshing
was a bit of a shame, but there you go. But it was a lot easier in terms of the gap, like the time slots that you've got. So you got the hour, you get the hour, don't need to go on. So there was no real rush to get over to anything. And it improves the experience, I guess. Like we didn't mind waiting in queues, did we, for like an hour or so. But for those rides like Ratatouille, Slinky, and etc., which are like plus an hour pretty much all day, it made that experience so much better. Just waiting 5-10 minutes or whatever and then getting straight on.
But I always say this to people, especially if you're going on your first time, like, you know, don't be just looking at your phone the whole time and don't be relying on Genie Plus, because, you know, if you're getting to the park and you go, right, I just want to get on the first ride, and you're running down Main Street and you're kind of like missing that, strolling down, taking in the smells and the music, you're kind of missing a lot of what the park was originally for. So did you feel like you embraced everything earlier on, or were you just going from attraction to attraction to attraction?
I definitely had that cheesy moment the first time we went into Magic Kingdom and you see the castle, and I just kind of stood there and was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're finally here.
Yeah. I think we mainly took it in. I think we...
The balance.
Yeah, I think so. We had that balance of, you know, we want to do this ride, we need to go and do it now because of X, Y, Z. But times where we did, you know, take it easy and we just took in... We took in quite a few of the shows, didn't we? So...
That was really good.
Yeah, they were really fun. Like, we took in Carousel of Progress at Magic Kingdom.
Frozen.
The Frozen show at Hollywood Studios.
Big into Frozen.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. We literally just went, when I got there, I didn't realise I was before, but we literally only went in because it was really warm and we were just walking past as it was open. And it was hilarious.
It's very funny,
to the point where I made him go back because he wanted to go again. And yeah, we really enjoyed the show. The Lion King was very good.
Festival of the Lion King, that was probably my favourite show that we did. That was a lot of fun. And we did the Safari as well, didn't we, on that day as well? We did Safari, then Festival of the Lion King. So that was a really fun day. That was our second full day, the first one at Animal Kingdom. So, yeah, I think, we got that balance of taking it all in and just appreciating like how amazing this was, plus the shows and the rides.
Yeah.
I think we kind of landed with this is the only time we're doing this, you know, we want to like buy a house and we're only coming once and then that'll be it. And then after a few days we're like, yeah, we're gonna be back, aren't we? So it kind of took the pressure off having to do everything because we'd already got,
we decided, yeah, we're coming back.
It happens every time. Every time.
I know Sophie said that and I really thought we'd be different and like, no, we've got a little plan. And yeah, it was just incredible. I completely get why people end up getting the passes and yeah, it was just, you can't really explain it, I think.
No, it was that sort of like moment, wasn't it, where we thought, yeah, you said it on the bus back from Magic Kingdom. You're like, we're coming back, aren't we? yep, we are. Yeah, 100% we are. How did you say, it was, whilst obviously it was sad when the holiday was over, but it was also, we were saying to each other how, there's so much stuff we haven't even seen yet. So at first we were like, oh, we didn't do this. And we're like, oh, well, don't worry, we'll do it next time. Yeah, it was quite a nice feeling to have, even though we were leaving, when we're back, we'll do this, that and the other. I think that's probably the beauty of a theme park like this massive, you're never going to fully complete it, so to speak. There's always going to be something new, something
first time,
something
next time.
I really do feel like we embraced it and took everything in.
I always have a list of stuff that every time, even though I've been a number of times, all right, we're going to do this and this will be the first time we've done that. But I also don't do everything on that list as an excuse to do it next time and then probably leave it off again.
Yeah, that's why we completely planned it that way, so we have to go back.
Yeah. Let's get the latest news from the parks. Some quick fire stories. There's a new popcorn bucket. There's a Pumba popcorn bucket, which is only available at Animal Kingdom at the moment. Over at Magic Kingdom, the parade is looking slightly different because the Maleficent dragon isn't breathing fire at the moment. You might have seen all the video footage from California last weekend, where during Fantasmic, the dragon caught fire. Proper burnt to the ground. So they're just being on the safe side at the minute. Of course, a couple of years ago, the head of the dragon over at Magic Kingdom did catch fire during a parade. We've got another character meet returning to Walt Disney World. From May the 14th, Edna Mode will be back meeting and greeting at Disney's Hollywood Studio as part of a reimagined Pixar place. You can also meet Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Frozone and Sully from Monsters, Inc. I love the Edna meet and greet. Please remember, though, no capes, darling. And also, there'll be a new meet and greet at Epcot where you can see Mickey and Minnie in their brand new costumes that celebrate Disney's 100th birthday, the Disney 100 celebration at Epcot this year, including a brand new meet and greet with Mickey and Minnie in their new costumes, and also a special lightning of Spaceship Earth to celebrate the 100 celebrations. There's lots happening around the parks as well, so check out the Disney Parks blog for more on that. And we've got more news about the Halloween parties, Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. The details have been revealed. The first date of the Halloween party will be the 11th of August. The last one will be November the 1st, the day after Halloween. Ticket prices will vary from around $110 up to $199 plus tax. It's good to go. You get the parade, you get the fireworks, you get a lot of chocolate for the trick-or-treating. Tickets will go on sale on Tuesday, so from the 2nd of May. Any more news that comes in between now and the next podcast in a couple of weeks, we'll do the best to update you on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical. I want to talk about food, because you said you spent quite a while deciding where you were going to eat. So where were the best restaurants and what were the best things you ate on that trip?
Steakhouse 71 in the Contemporary was fantastic. We had dinner and lunch there.
Yeah, we went back because of your recommendation for the burger.
Yes.
And was it the greatest burger?
Yes, 100%.
Greatest burger at Disney.
Absolutely outstanding. It was so, so good. But yeah, the dinner that I had crab cakes, and I'm not usually a big fish eater, but the crab cakes they do are incredible. And then the steaks are just brilliant, along with their chocolate cake. Where else was there? The Grand Floridian Cafe was really good. That was a great lunch. The Napoli in Epcot was brilliant in the Italy Pavilion. You had chicken parmesan, I had spaghetti and meatballs. It was just fantastic. Yeah. It was such a great atmosphere, and the staff are so friendly. The staff are friendly everywhere, aren't they? But especially in there, they felt like extra friendly and really helpful and really nice. So
the staff make it, don't they? There's some places we went where the food was maybe like just fine, but the staff was so wonderful. You're like, oh, that was brilliant, and it was completely down to the people rather than what you kind of think you're going for.
Yeah. Is there anywhere else particular food wise?
The fruit waffle from Sleepy Hollow.
Oh yes,
lovely. It was a good one.
No, and that was one that you really wanted to do as well. You said, "Oh, I want to go to."
Yeah, one of the YouTube channels I've been watching is like food focused, and so yeah, we started to make like a little list of places, didn't we? And we were really lucky with our reservations that we managed to get
what you wanted
everywhere. Yeah, Primetime Cafe.
Primetime Cafe, yeah.
That was really good. Yeah. And I didn't expect it to be that. I thought it would just kind of be like more about the experience, but actually the food was lovely. Got the pot roast.
The pot roast, yeah.
And I'm from Yorkshire, so it's the first time I've had gravy in the entire holiday. And I was like, yes, come on.
Did you get told off in there for having your elbows on the table or not finishing your meal or anything?
Yeah, I did. I got, elbows on table at one point. I forgot. Just the cast member just looked over and just looked, sorry. tutting away at me. Yeah. No, it was really funny though. I had the sampler, which was great. It was really, really nice food. As you say, like you, I was expecting it more to be just a sort of experience thing where, you get told off, et cetera, et cetera. But no, the food was brilliant.
Yeah.
Mostly everywhere, the food was really, really good, wasn't it? There was only a couple of places in the end where
we were disappointed.
Where did you not like? Let's talk about where you didn't like. Let's name and shame.
Yeah, why not?
Controversial. Sci-fi
diner.
Yeah, experience, but the food's not that good. Yeah, it has been said.
It was really average. Really average. And Mama Melrose, I wasn't really head over heels for. I think because we'd been to Viennapoli the day before, it felt like, it's not... Not quite there.
It's not quite.
But again,
it was
lovely experience and lovely staff. But
Sci-fi was the main disappointment.
That was the one you were really looking forward to.
Yeah,
you were really gutted.
When we researched that one, it's like, in a like drive-in cinema like in the 50s, like it sounds perfect. And then you get in there and it's a bit like, but never mind. It does.
Yeah, you can't even see the menu because it's so dark. You've got to get your light out on the phone.
Yeah.
And the other people in your car, that sounds really fun, but they're really close. It's fine, they were very lovely. But it was just not what, I don't know what I expected.
Not what you're expecting.
Not that, no.
Am I right in saying that, Matt, you've been trying to recreate some classic Disney dishes that you had on your holiday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, have you been trying to recreate, and how easy was it?
The spaghetti and meatballs I definitely like to try and do. And then the chicken parmesan from Napoli. Definitely would like to do that. And also the steak, the different cuts of steak from Steakhouse. Like I've never had filet mignon in my life. I love that. So I'd love to do that properly. Or the gratin potatoes that they have with that would be amazing. And the crab, and of course the crab cakes. That was my favourite one. I want to try and recreate them because
aim high.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is aiming very high. But why not?
Because they were
so incredible.
Yeah.
Even if I could make them as half as good, then. They would be great.
You even ate the salad and you hate vegetables.
I do hate vegetables. So.
Yeah, but they do drown it in like oil and everything. That's the thing why the salads taste so good over there.
Oil and cheese. Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah.
What is your one standout memory from your honeymoon? The one favourite thing that you will always take with you?
I would say Harmonious on the set. Yeah, that was the best show that we watched and the best moment that. It felt like it went by so quickly, but it was like 30 minute show, and it was the best. I love the old Disney films anyway, and like student of Lion King, Mulan, Little Mermaid, etc., etc. And those how they blended in like some of those old classics into this massive show, fireworks everywhere, was just brilliant. We were watching it from the Rose and Crown, weren't we? The balcony at the Rose and Crown. So I had the best seats in the house.
Yeah.
I just loved it. That was the big highlight that I'll always remember.
So I was going to say the Magic Kingdom fireworks on the last night. So we did the dining package, you know, when you sit at Frontierland, and we were right next to the people mover. And it wasn't that amazing.
The fireworks, side view, isn't it? That's the thing with that.
You couldn't see the projections very well. You're so close to the people mover that it kept talking, because obviously it doesn't stop for the fireworks. So the ride was playing in the background, and we could hear that more than we could hear the... And at first, the volume was kind of off, wasn't it? So you couldn't even hear the show. So that was really disappointing. But actually, then on the last night, we sat in front of the castle on the path for ages and got our spot and waited. And that was amazing. And that's that kind of what you imagine, I think, when you're in Disney. That's what it's going to be. And that was,
No, that was incredible. The other one as well, Fantasmic, was really, really good. We loved that show. And we got really good seats for that. So pretty much in the middle. So
did you do second show for Fantasmic?
Yeah, we went back, didn't we? We were just literally going, everyone was coming the other way, and we were just getting the Skyliner, and we didn't know if we'd make it in time, but hit the queue just right.
Second show, sit in the middle. It's always the best option. And with the dessert party at Magic Kingdom, the top tip for that one is to do the after party. So they've got a little area in the middle where you watch the fireworks, and then you have your desserts after they take you over. And it's a little bit cheaper, but it's much better because you get to stand right in the middle. They do before that and after. So the during one you sit down, but there's before and after, do the after one. It's always better. Have you got any tips, any mistakes that you think, I wish we'd done this the other way around, having been before, for next time you go, going, do you know what? We did that wrong. We should have done that.
I have a slightly controversial one. So for Contemporary, I think after being at Caribbean Beach, which is like just so zen and quiet, I think it felt quite then intense some days going to Contemporary, and how like loud that was and overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't move, I think, again, or we would have done that the other way around. Maybe.
Yeah, it was stressful that day moving over, even though, again, it was brilliant in terms of they took our luggage over for us, etc. Just the being in the park, being in a park, and then
we got the
we went the wrong way, didn't we? We went on the Skyliner and we thought we would be able to get the monorail from Epcot at the back of the park near the France Pavilion, but
no,
of course, got right at the front. So then we had to walk straight all the way through Epcot. I mean, there are worse places to walk. But you know, it was by the end of a tiring day, and we were running tight for time in terms of the treats and seats party, weren't we? So that was a stressful day. So, yeah, I don't think we'd move again. I do agree in terms of the Contemporary. The Contemporary is the best hotel room I've ever been in.
It was incredible. Absolutely,
but
it was incredible.
You are right in terms of there was always like a bit of a buzz, like as the monorail comes through, you can hear people. So sometimes it can be a bit, I wouldn't say noisy, because it wasn't like horrifically noisy, but it wasn't with Caribbean Beach, it's just silence.
Yeah.
Lovely silence. Just wander down to the pool, one of the pools, chill there.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
Just a bit of a different vibe, wasn't it? And it was wonderful. I'm really glad we did it. And we were so lucky to be able to stay there.
Mm.
But I don't know, it just felt, so I've got sensory processing difficulties. And after being in the park all day, I think coming back to the Caribbean, I could kind of decompress, and it was perfect. Whereas going back to Contemporary, where the boats are very enthusiastic. Oh,
honking all night, aren't they?
Every few minutes, I'm like, you're very excited about life, aren't you? They kept beeping, and the trains, and it was just for me, just a little bit much. Some days after you've been, you know, with all those people all day.
Although at the Contemporary, it is nice at the end of the night at Magic Kingdom to go, we just walk to our room. It's like a 4 or 5 minute walk.
That was amazing. The view was incredible.
Yeah.
That more than made up for anything. You know, the pool was closed, wasn't it? And that kind of thing. But we spent so much time on the balcony, and that was incredible. Just being able to see the castle was so surreal. I couldn't really believe it, even though we'd, even by the last day we'd been there a week, I was still looking.
And... yeah. And of course, being in the Contemporary as well gave us the access to the deluxe hours. So, which was, yes, again, one of our favourite bits. So really weird. We'd gone for dinner at the steakhouse at like, I don't know, 6:30, left there about 8, went and had an hour nap, then got up and then caught the monorail. And then as everyone's streaming out of Magic Kingdom at 11 o'clock, we're just walking in. And did all of like a lot of the rides that we couldn't do during the day just because of queues. It was surreal, but an incredible couple of hours.
It's proper empty, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It just felt so deserted.
Staff are amazing as well. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine like coming to work all that time and they're still so lovely and friendly.
They make it. Yeah.
We got the photo pass included when we booked, so we tried to, much to Matt's disappointment, we tried to make the most of that, so we got some amazing photos when it was empty. And yeah,
we
really
got the
lucky.
Was it Tangled?
Have you seen the, when they have the light,
yes,
the lantern,
that's quite a difficult one to get, and there's always a big queue when you do find it just outside the toilets over there.
Oh yeah, really peak spot. I was like, you go to the queue and I'll bob in there and then we'll get back out. I'd never seen. They had a proper Epcot, didn't they? They had the paintbrush, which they then add the, like, I don't know, see, like the CGI, and they add Figment.
Festival of the Arts pictures.
And it lights up. Oh, is it for Festival of the Arts?
Yeah.
That's how it's there. Ah, yeah. So it had the paintbrush, but then, yeah, the lantern was really cool. Really cool.
In your room, by the way, Contemporary, was it a themed room? Was it an Incredibles themed room?
Yes, it was.
What was that like?
I loved it. Really nice. Like, it wasn't, you'd think maybe when you think Incredibles, like massive red everywhere, but no, it was really, really subtle. And I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but
yeah, it was like fun. So there was like a big frozen pillar and an Edna one,
yeah,
so there were nods to it, which was lovely, but it wasn't kind of in your face, and it was really lovely.
Yeah,
calming, relaxing.
Yeah, it wasn't imposing, wasn't overwhelming. It was really clever how they, you know, painted the room and snuck it in, all the little references. And it was really, really, really good.
Yeah, really. I was going to say they really think about it, obviously. That's a daft thing to say, but it's impressive, isn't it? It's very clever.
It was also nice because, I guess, with a Disney hotel, The Incredibles, whilst it's one of the like bigger Disney films, isn't what you'd immediately think when going to a Disney hotel.
Yeah.
So to me, I was a little bit surprised. I was like, oh, they've gone with an Incredibles theme. And I loved it because I love The Incredibles anyway. But you'd expect, I suppose, from loads of pictures that we've seen, it'd be loads of like Mickey Mouse, Goofy, etc., like themed rooms. You wouldn't necessarily expect an Incredibles room. So fair play to them. Like, it was really surprising, but a lovely surprise.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, but they do. They do know what they're doing.
They've been doing it for 50 odd years. So they're pretty that once in a lifetime trip. When's the next one? When's the next once in a lifetime trip? The second in a lifetime trip.
I was literally on the
twice in a lifetime. Yeah,
on the plane and like in the airport, where we're like looking, like when would do they release the tickets? And I think it'll be a few years before we can see that again. But
I think so.
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah, I would love to go back. It was just
this decade. Shall we say this decade?
That's a good aim. Yeah. We can aim for that.
Aim for that one. Yeah, aim for that
aim
one.
For that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the memories will last a lifetime.
It will indeed.
It will, yes.
Yeah, we'll have to find someone to do doggy daycare or doggy holiday care again.
Exactly.
Maybe that'll be the breaker.
next time. Lovely chatting to you both, and have a magical day.
Bye.
Thanks, Andy. Bye. Cheers.
If you would like to join me on the podcast, send me a message. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @PodMagical. If you're going to be going over to Walt Disney World soon, don't forget to tag us in your pictures. Then we can see what's going on. The weather, I think, is quite nice over at the moment. April into May. Doesn't look too bad. You're not into like real humid. It's going to start getting warm with maybe those afternoon showers, but you're kind of talking high 20s, low 30s, which is quite nice. And the crowds aren't too bad either. Easter is gone. Big summer holiday crowds have not started. It's quite a nice in-between time. So pretty moderate during the week. It's going to get busy at weekends, but it's not too bad. Epcot, we've still got the Flower and Garden Festival continuing with the, I was going to say the Eat to the Beat concert series. That's not on. That's the Food and Wine one. They've got the Garden Rocks concert series is what they have over at Epcot, with Cool and the Gang appearing this weekend. That is pretty cool. Over at SeaWorld, they've got their Seven Seas Festival, which is happening at the minute. It's the last week of that. This weekend, they've got the Commodores appearing. Next weekend, Neo and Martina McBride are going to be over at SeaWorld for their festival, their Seven Seas Festival. So have a good time if you're going. It's not a bank holiday weekend this weekend in America. It is at the end of May, though. So if you're going towards the end of May, you might expect it to be quite busy around there. But this weekend shouldn't be too bad. Should be quiet. You might have managed to squeeze in a holiday, taking advantage of the two bank holiday weekends that we've got over the next couple of weekends from the UK. Top tip for this episode, always like to end with a top tip. Here is something different. Have you ever fancied renting a pontoon boat on the Seven Seas? You might have seen this outside Magic Kingdom. They're not that expensive to rent. You don't have to be staying at Walt Disney World or in the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian to rent a pontoon boat. You can rent one. You don't need some sort of boat license. Have a go. Bring a little picnic. I don't think you should be worried about crashing into any of the boats. I think you should be pretty safe. So if you want to do something different, maybe a picnic with a difference. What about Heinrich and Pontoon on the Seven Seas? Something for a change. If you've got any tips you'd love to share with me, by the way, I'm always wanting to know what's going on. What do you do? Anything we've never mentioned on the podcast, maybe? Do give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical. I will be back in 2 weeks' time, week on Friday, for another brand new podcast. More memories, more news. Until then, hit that subscribe button. Give us 5 stars if you could. And please, stand clear of the doors.